Picture a woman vomiting on her laptop, cleaning up without pause, driving to buy a replacement keyboard, and returning to work within hours, all while writing her Harvard dissertation. This wasn't heroism. It was dysregulation masquerading as dedication. Her body was screaming for help, but she'd become so skilled at overriding its signals that nausea felt like background noise. Sound familiar? We live in a culture that celebrates pushing through, grinding harder, and treating our bodies like inconvenient vessels for our ambitions. But here's what we miss. That knot in your stomach, that racing heart, that fog in your mind, these aren't weaknesses to overcome. They're your survival system trying to save you from yourself. Most of us operate with a fundamental misunderstanding about stress and trauma. We think they're separate experiences. Stress is what happens during a tough week at work. Trauma is reserved for war veterans or abuse survivors. This artificial divide blinds us to a crucial truth. Stress and trauma exist on the same neurobiological continuum. The difference isn't the external event, but how your internal system responds to it. A fender bender that leaves one person shaken but functional can send another into full survival mode. The determining factor? Something called your window of tolerance, the range within which you can handle life's challenges while keeping your thinking brain and survival brain working together rather than against each other. Your nervous system was designed 200,000 years ago for a world of saber-toothed tigers and berry foraging. Back then, threats were immediate, physical, and resolved quickly. You either escaped the predator or you didn't. Either way, your stress response had a clear beginning and end. Today, your threats are endless, abstract, and unresolvable. Your boss's passive-aggressive email triggers the same neurobiological cascade as facing a predator, except you can't run away or fight back. You just sit there, marinating in stress hormones while checking your phone 96 times a day and wondering why you feel constantly on edge. This mismatch between our Paleolithic biology and modern reality creates the always-on problem. Artificial lighting tricks your brain into perpetual daytime. Caffeine overrides fatigue signals. Social media delivers endless symbolic threats, political outrage, social comparison, FOMO. Your nervous system never gets the all-clear signal. Nearly 90% of American adults have experienced at least one traumatic event, and a quarter currently deal with mental illness. Today's young adults are 6 to 8 times more likely to be clinically depressed than their 1938 counterparts. Modern life's complexity keeps us chronically activated. Financial insecurity, political polarization, climate anxiety, these aren't problems you can solve with a spear. Yet your amygdala doesn't know that. It keeps you in perpetual vigilance, building allostatic load, the cumulative wear of chronic stress. When your survival brain detects threat, it mobilizes 3 hierarchical defense systems. First is social engagement, reaching out, connecting, available only inside your window of tolerance. When that fails, you escalate to fight or flight. When even that feels impossible, you freeze, an ancient shutdown where you disconnect, go numb, dissociate. Trauma is distinct. Your survival brain encodes complete powerlessness. Without proper processing, stress activation never fully discharges. Your thinking brain knows you're safe now, but your survival brain hasn't gotten the memo. It's still back there, braced for impact. Your brain constantly rewires itself based on what you repeatedly do, think, and experience, a phenomenon called neuroplasticity. London taxi drivers who memorize thousands of streets develop larger hippocampus. The principle? Neurons that fire together, wire together. Every time you rehearse a thought pattern or behavior, you're carving neural pathways deeper, like water gradually carving the Grand Canyon. When your boss sends that email, your nervous system follows well-worn pathways, jaw clenching, shoulders tightening, reaching for your phone. These responses happen automatically because you've practiced them thousands of times. You can carve new canyons, but it requires conscious, repeated effort, especially when stressed, precisely when your brain wants to default to familiar patterns. 2 problematic Grand Canyons dominate modern life: mind wandering and multitasking. Research shows we're less happy when our minds wander than when we're fully present. Yet the average person's mind wanders nearly 47% of their waking hours. Multitasking is mostly an illusion. It's actually rapid task switching, which increases errors, stress, and completion time. Even more fascinating is epigenetics, how experiences turn genes on or off without changing DNA. Your grandfather's unprocessed trauma might be affecting your stress responses today. But while many factors that shaped your window weren't your choice, they're not your destiny. The only thing truly under your control is where, when, and how you direct your attention. The relationship between stress and performance follows an inverted U-shape. Too little stress and you're unmotivated. Moderate stress enhances performance. That's the sweet spot where you're alert, focused, and capable. But beyond that peak, performance steadily degrades. Your thinking brain goes offline. Your memory fragments. At extreme stress levels, you freeze entirely. This explains why your worst decisions happen when you're most activated. When you need your thinking brain most, it becomes least available. Your window of tolerance was wired through your earliest relationships, particularly in your first year of life. While your fight or flight and freeze responses were operational from birth, your most sophisticated defense system, social engagement, was barely developed. This system, governing your ability to connect with others and regulate stress, develops from the last trimester through adolescence. It's exquisitely sensitive to whether your caregivers could stay present with your distress or withdrew when you needed them most. Attachment theory reveals how these early patterns encode themselves as relational strategies. Securely attached children, about 50 to 63% of adults, had caregivers who consistently attuned to their needs. These adults now balance autonomy with intimacy and self-regulate effectively. When caregivers couldn't provide that consistency, you adapted. The insecure avoidance style develops from emotionally distant caregivers, leading to compulsive self-reliance. The insecure anxious style emerges from unpredictable caregivers, creating preoccupation over relationships. The insecure disorganized style from neglectful or abusive parents creates an impossible paradox, where your source of safety is also your source of danger, developing contradictory patterns that correlate strongly with later mental health struggles. The groundbreaking ACE study revealed only 36% of participants reported no adverse childhood experiences. The groundbreaking experiences create profound structural changes. Children with chronic early stress develop larger, hyperreactive amygdalae and smaller prefrontal cortices, building enhanced danger detection at the expense of their thinking brain. Your window narrows through three pathways: childhood adversity, developmental trauma, and insecure attachment sets your baseline. Shock trauma in adulthood occurs when acute events overwhelm your system. Here's the counterintuitive part. Shock trauma isn't defined by the event itself, but by how your system experiences it. A minor car accident can be more traumatic than a major one if your survival brain perceives helplessness. The defining feature? Paratraumatic dissociation, that freeze response where you disconnect from your body. This is the single biggest predictor of PTSD. The third pathway is most insidious because it's normalized: chronic stress and relational trauma in everyday life. This means experiencing arousal too long or too often without recovery. About 28% of Americans sleep 6 or fewer hours nightly. After 14 days, cognitive function declines to levels equivalent to staying awake 24 to 48 hours straight. Add workaholism, long hours, minimal vacation, constant connectivity, and you have chronic depletion. Your coping mechanisms build more allostatic load: working longer, sleeping less, eating poorly, scrolling social media, skipping exercise, drinking to unwind. Each provides momentary relief while deepening dysregulation. The bridge between your thinking brain and survival brain is attention, specifically interoceptive awareness, the ability to notice, tolerate, and accurately interpret what's happening inside your body. Most of us have terrible interoception, mistaking anxiety for hunger, exhaustion for restlessness, and dysregulation for personality. two brain regions are critical, the insula cortex and anterior cingulate cortex. These provide top-down control of survival brain processes, regulating stress and emotions. The revolutionary insight? You can strengthen these regions through systematic attention training, mindfulness meditation, yoga, tai chi, or martial arts. This isn't about relaxation or positive thinking. It's about building neural infrastructure for regulation. When U.S. Marines preparing for deployment received mind fitness training, combining mindfulness with body-based trauma therapies, results were striking. Improved sustained attention and working memory under stress, more efficient stress arousal patterns, and an extra hour of sleep per night using fewer sleep aids. The practice is deceptively simple. Sit with your back against a wall, feet flat on the ground. Close your eyes and notice the feeling of being supported. Contact between your body and the chair, your feet and the floor. Choose the strongest sensation as your attention target. When your mind wanders, gently redirect it back. Each redirection is a neuroplastic rep, building attentional control, like lifting weights builds muscle. Start with 5 minutes daily. This trains the exact neural pathways needed for regulation, sustained attention, interoceptive awareness, and the capacity to stay present without immediately reacting or dissociating. Here's a truth contradicting everything our culture teaches. Resilience doesn't develop through constant strength. It develops through stress followed by complete recovery. This three-step cycle, experiencing something challenging, moving through that activation, and recovering fully, teaches your mind-body system to tolerate more effectively. The ground and release exercise offers a systematic approach. Find a quiet place, preferably with your back against a wall. Notice your stress activation symptoms without judgment: clenched jaw, pounding heart, shallow breathing, racing thoughts. Don't try to change them, just notice. Then redirect attention to where your body feels most solid and grounded, usually those contact points with the chair or floor. When attention drifts back to stress activation, gently redirect it to your ground. Continue until you notice signs of release: shaking, deeper breathing, yawning, tingling, temperature changes. These are your nervous system discharging stress activation. Just as repeated stress experiences narrow your window, you need repeated recovery experiences to widen it. 5 evidence-based habits consistently widen your window. First, daily awareness practices like meditation, breathwork, tai chi, or yoga, essential nervous system maintenance, not wellness trends. Second, gut health. With 70% of your immune system in your microbiome producing most of your serotonin, avoid sugar and processed foods while adding probiotics and fermented foods. Third, 8 hours of quality sleep for tissue repair and toxin elimination. Fourth, exercise, combining aerobic work, weight training, and stretching to discharge stress. Fifth, social connection. Lack of social ties is twice as dangerous as obesity, with daily friend interactions providing well-being equivalent to earning an extra $100,000 annually. Stress is contagious. Your survival brain automatically picks up others' dysregulation, unconsciously synchronizing emotions. Leaders send particularly powerful ripples. When regulated, they create safe environments for collaboration. When dysregulated, their stress cascades through groups, diminishing cooperation. America's collective window is narrowed, visible in our incivility and polarization. 64% believe their group is losing ground, creating siege mentality that enables dehumanization. We need systemic changes: universal healthcare, addressing inequality, educating children for wider windows. But systemic change begins with individual practice. The invitation isn't to fix yourself. You're not broken. It's to widen your window, one attention rep at a time, until you can hold life's complexity without collapsing into survival mode. Your body isn't a productivity vehicle. It's the source of your wisdom, the ground of your resilience, the home you've been searching for.